around us, and so let's be in prayer. This is the first Sunday of October. I cannot believe October is here already. Amen. It has crept upon us very quickly. A couple of things I want to take note of. First of all, thank you for the anniversary gifts, cards, and the wishes from last week for our 19th anniversary. From my heart and my wife's heart and my children, we're very appreciative of your kindness and your thoughtfulness and thinking of us and providing the financial and the gift cards and all the other well wishes that we received. So thank you very much for that. Thank you for praying for Brother Fred. He was down last week. He is back with us. Amen. And so that is a blessing. However, we do need you to pray for Pastor Wyatt. As you can see, he's not with us today. He has woken up with some neck, chest, and severe back pains. He's at the VA emergency room right now. Mrs. Wyatt had to drop him off. Not sure what's going on there, but we're waiting for any word on what's happening with him and what's going on. So we lost Fred last week, now Brother Pastor Wyatt this week. So pray for Pastor Mrs. Wyatt as she tends to seeing what's going on with her. Of course, with all the COVID restrictions, they won't allow her into the hospital, but she is waiting to see what is going on with him. So thank you for praying for that. And also thanks to Kelly and Martin out doing some painting for us here on the ground and some other things of maintenance around here. Really appreciate that. And he waited for her specifically to come out and help him with some stuff. Amen. So appreciate them doing a blessing. They won't be with us that long, but for as long as they're with us, we're enjoying having both of them with us. Amen. And that would be a blessing. All right. Well, we are going to sing some songs this morning. And before we do that, we've got "Open My Eyes That I May See." Amen. So read your hymnals. There's 401. I'm going to pray first, then we're going to go ahead and sing this song. Father, we do thank you for your goodness, and thank you for your grace, and Lord, thank you for being a merciful God toward us. And Lord, we have prayed for Brother Fred to be lifted up, and you have lifted him up and brought him back with us. Keep him safe whilst he's separated from his family down in Silver City. Lord, at the same time, we come with the request of Pastor White that you would, Lord, lend the medical assistance to those in charge, giving them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on how to operate the situation with Pastor White on his neck and on his chest and his lower back. We're not sure what the diagnosis may be, but whatever it is, well, we know that he is in your careful hands and your scrutinizing hands, Lord. And so we just ask that you would direct, guide, and lead in the affairs of Pastor White and anyone else that may be affected by the COVID virus that's going on here in Tucson. Lord, we lift up our great nation, our leader, President Trump, has been stricken with it as well. Give those doctors and the medical team there the wisdom to get him well and out and back on the job. And Lord, especially in such a crucial time during our nation with debates going on and so many things that need to take place, I just pray that you would raise our leader up and Lord, give him the wisdom that he needs as well to direct this nation. We thank you for what you've given us. Thank you for those watching online. Thank you for those that have attended today, Lord. And may we say once again, it's been good to be in thy house. Bless our hearts. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Lord, help us to hear what we need to hear today. And Lord Jesus, may you get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. We've got the song here, "Open My Eyes That I May See." Goes hand in hand with our verse of the month. Our verse of the month is, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law," Psalm 119:18. So Gregory, go ahead and get that. We do have all three stanzas this morning, so we're going to go ahead and click those, and so you'll be able to sing all three without me feeding you words. Amen. Let's sing this from a heart of, "Lord, help me to see today your word and the beauty that is there to behold." Amen. First stanza. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses. Yeah. sing stanza number two. Open my ears that I may hear. So it's my eyes, now it's my ears. Here we go.
Open my ears that I may hear. Voices of truth, thou sin is clear. And while the scriptures fall on my ear, everything wrong will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee.
September has already gone past, amen, but you can pick it up with October and then into November. These are out in the foyer, so as you leave, make sure you grab one of those if you have been missing them dearly, amen. Well, definitely continue to pray for our nation. President Trump, of course, has been taken with COVID virus, you know. It always seems like it happens to someone else until it happens to you, amen. So definitely pray for him and those that are around him. I'm not sure how serious it is, but he definitely needs our prayers as the president of this nation. Let me give you a heads up as well. Our children have Abeka testing this week, and they'll be taking the SAT. It's a standardized test to see where they're at. They'll be doing that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 7 to 11. So they will have to have our phones with them. So each one of our children will have one of our phones. So we will not be in contact range from those hours. So if something comes up and it's an emergency, please text Pastor White or Mrs. White or Brother Hall or Mrs. Hall and during that time frame. And then so shortly thereafter, of course, we'll get the phones back. Amen. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 7 to 11, we will not have our phone access because they'll need to be on those phones with the testing that they're doing. And so we'll see how smart they are. Amen. We know they are intelligent geniuses. Amen. So praise God for that. Just want to put that out there and let you know about that. Amen. Those are the announcements for the week. Of course, you've gotten the bulletin for Wednesday. The announcements are out there for this month. The verse of the month is out there. Not much has changed on the horizon for how we're going to do things. We're still going to go ahead and keep the same format. Sunday morning service, and I haven't went the Sunday night. Or Wednesday, but we will have the Wednesday video that you can see. Right now, we're on the Blessed Are the Peacemakers. Amen. And if you're having trouble with peace in your life with yourself or someone else, please, you want to watch that video on Wednesday. Looking at being a peacemaker, it's a three-part series. We've already looked at the first part. Second part is this Wednesday, then the third part is the next Wednesday after that. And I do appreciate Tamara and Shane for keeping us connected by way of the web and by way of our text messages. So thank God for them and what they have done. So I do appreciate what's going on there, and definitely appreciate each one that's here today. Amen. Well, I enjoyed last week, but I assure you I will not be as long today as I was last week. Amen. And I say, man, preach, that was a long service. Amen. But for COVID purposes, amen, we had to make sure we got those anniversary wishes out there and things of that nature. Amen. Mrs. Dawson's going to come up and sing for us here in just a minute with Faith and Pooh. So I appreciate them singing. So Faith and Carmen, come on up. And if you've got your Bibles handy, we're going to be in Psalm 119 today, Psalm 119, 18. And, of course, our jumping verse is going to be in Matthew or Luke chapter 10 once again. Luke chapter 10 is our jumping verse. Mrs. Dawson's song is going hand-in-hand with what we're talking about. And talking about opening our eyes that we can see. We're going to sing our last song here. Where are we at here? Joshua, hook me up. As Mrs. Dawson comes. And it is Open Our Eyes, Lord. And right after we sing that, they're going to come on up and sing for us. Yeah, Angel G. I think most of us know this. It's only the one stanza, and that's what you see behind me. Amen. All right, here we go.
Jesus name.
And so they're right outside the door. So on your way out, if you would like any one of those items, chili pot or the turkey platter, or we can't provide the turkey, I'm sorry, but you can get the turkey platter, amen. And the thermometers for the steaks, they're out there as well, amen. Well, let's take our Bible. We're in the last portion of the promises of God, which cannot be taken away. So take your Bible, stand with me if you're able. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 10, verse 42. That's our jumping verse that we've been at. And then Psalm 119:18. And, of course, I will read Luke 21:33, just for emphasis. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 41. And then we'll be in Psalm 119 and verse 18. And everybody that is there, say amen.
Amen.
Best way you can through your mask, amen. And again, if you're in your spot, I mean, you can feel free to take your mask down, and that's going to help you breathe a little bit better, amen. But I would say if you're going to move away from your seat, please put your mask back on to avoid contamination with someone else or something like that, amen. So Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42, let's read those together. And I guess it would help if the pastor got there. Amen. All right, here we go. Luke 10, 41 and 42. Read with me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And therein is where we have gotten our phrase from, investing in that which shall not be taken away from her. Psalm 119 and verse number 18, read that one with me together. Here we go. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. And I'll read Luke 21:33 in regards to the promises of God. And this is what Jesus said about the word of God and why we want to invest in it. Luke 21, verse 33. Jesus said this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but notice this, but my words shall not pass away. And that's why we want to invest more in the promises of God, because the words contained in this book are not going to pass away. And we can have another COVID, we can have three more COVIDs, we can have 10 more pandemics, and guess what? The word of God's still not going anywhere.
Amen. Amen.
It'll still be here. Praise God for that. And I do trust as we do the conclusion today, you'll find some encouragement from the word of God and invest more in what God has said. Father, thank you so much for the song of encouragement. Trust to God's word, Lord, and help us to not just sing about your word, but practice your word, to meditate in your word, Lord, to love your word, to cherish it, Lord, because it is the word of the living God. And we thank you so much that throughout all the craziness of the chaos of this world, amidst everyone that's involved with a pandemic and so many things going on, we can trust the word of God and his promises. Well, thank you for being a precious Savior to us, a caring Savior. You've not left us alone through this pandemic. You're walking with us side by side. Lord, oh God, help us not to neglect the precious promises that are here that cannot be taken away when so much can be and has been taken away from us, including loved ones. Bless now the message, Lord, as the song was a blessing and encouragement. Lift our hearts, and Lord, if there's someone listening online or someone listening here in person that has never received the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, help that man, or woman, or boy or girl to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior today. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, looking at investing in what cannot be taken away, you know, I don't know if you've looked at the news this week. Try not to look at it too much because it can depress you, amen. And if you're not careful, you hear another conspiracy theory, you hear this, you hear that, you hear so many things out there that can just downright discourage you, amen. You know, hearing about the president getting the COVID virus, I thought, well, amen, you know, it's at the very top of our nation. And so we've got to pray, because from the bottom of our nation to the top of our nation, now we've experienced this pandemic, amen? And so we really need to pray. But the comforting thing is that Jesus Christ gave us his word. Amen. And we can still invest in the promise of God. God said that things like this would happen, amen? He already told us that things like this are going to happen. There's going to be pestilence all around us. We already know that, amen? So why are we in arms? Why are we in the state of, oh, it happened. Here it is. Happen, amen. We should just say, amen, God, you're right again. That's what we say. Amen, God, you're right again. When the next conspiracy comes, amen, God, you're right again. When we receive, yeah, amen, God, you're right again. But when the devil rears his ugly head and does something abominable, amen, God, you're right again. What am I saying? The promises are here, and they're true, and they're not going anywhere. And God wants us to invest in them because they're here, amen. And so we've been preaching about investing in what cannot be taken away, like Mary did. And I gave you this definition. Investment means to expend time, money, effort, or energy to achieve a profit. We all want to profit spiritually, amen. I know I do. Many of us want to profit financially too, amen. Hey, how many of y'all enjoy that stimulus check? I know I did, amen. Say, preacher, do you want to give it back? No. Amen. But spiritually, we should want to invest as well in the things of God. And we're concluding the promises of God that cannot be taken away. And first of all, before we even get into the things that I want us to remember for today, let's take a quick look and see why the psalmist was so excited about the promises of God by noticing some of the things that he compares the promises to. Amen. Notice verse 14. Here's Psalm 119. Notice verse 14. And he says this, he says, I rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all, what's that word? Riches. How many of y'all like wealth? Prosperity. And I think like riches. I know I do. We all want to be prosperous. We all want to have enough to make life easier. But the psalmist said, you know what? I'm comparing the word of God to riches. He said, I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. He said, I had all the riches in the world. I rejoice just like that. I'll turn over to 127 and see the same sentiment there. 127. And in 127, notice what he says here. Read that one with me. Therefore, I love thy commandments. What? Above gold, yea, above fine gold. What does Psalm say? He says, I'm comparing the word of God to a love of riches and gold more than riches and gold. He said, it's above that. Can we get that way? That we love the word of God more than riches and gold. Now, do we love riches and gold? Who doesn't? You'd be a dummy not to love riches and gold for what it can do. The psalmist said, my love for the word of God is above riches, above gold. Amen. That's good. Why? I'm going to need it when my gold is gone. I'm going to need it when my riches are gone. I'm going to need it when the pandemic comes and wipes the stock market out. I'm going to need it when the hurricanes come and wipe all my finances out, wipes my home out. I'm going to need it. We need the word of God. Well, the riches of God. He compares it to riches and gold. But then go back to verse 24, and he says, you know what? It's like a counselor. Verse 24. He said, thy testimonies also are my delight and my, what's the word? Counselors. What's the counselor? An advisor. Someone helping with problems and issues. We have problems right now. Yes. We have issues now. Yes. He says, you know what? The word of God to me, he said, is my delight and my counselor, my advisor, helps me out. And folks, we need to invest in it. Why? Because it can advise us. It can direct us. It can encourage us. It can give us what we need. When all is breaking loose and the pandemic says it's worthless, it's hopeless, it's useless. And I can say, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. And those bells, not just the riches and gold, the counselor, verse 54, he says this. It's like a song to me. Notice verse 54. Read that with me. He says down there, thy statutes have been my what? Songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Amen. Hey, we like singing. We like good music. And he says these songs can be repeated over and over again, just like the word of God can. How many throughout the course of your week you start repeating a song that you heard on the radio, or you heard on a DVD, or you heard on a CD, or you heard somewhere from your past, and you start singing it. And what normally happens with a song? You sing it over and over and over and over again. It's got a chorus. Some of them are catchy. Yeah, man. Over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Hey, some of them are really, really catchy. And what did he say here? He said that, you know what? When it comes down to the word of God, he said, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have rehearsed it over and over again. It's that which brings my heart joy, unlike the blues. My baby then left me. Da 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 da. My cat then bit me. Da 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 da. The word of God is nothing like that. My wife then hit me. Da 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 da. Oh, I got the blues. Well, we'll sing that. That's not a good song. But he says down here, he says, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. What did he say? I'm comparing it to riches and gold. My counselor, my song. Verse 103. Go over there with me. Read this one. 103. That's what he says. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than what? Honey to my mouth. Honey back then was the sweetest thing that they knew. If you can put honey as a sweetener in just about anything, this still tastes good, amen. Get you some hot tea, put that honey in there, get some hot water, put that honey in there. My kids, they run out of jelly, hey, they'll get the peanut butter and put honey on it, amen. And then it makes a mess, but it tastes good. Why? It's sweet. It's sweet. Let Joshua have this, but he'll put chocolate on his peanut butter, amen. Yeah. And that's good too, amen.
Yeah,
we like sweet. The promises of God are sweeter. Look what he says, 103. How sweet are thy what? Words unto my what? My taste. Why? I ate them. I ingested them. Yea, sweeter than honey. If honey was the sweetest thing, he said, it's sweeter than honey. Now think about the sweetest thing you know. Yeah, for me, my honey, she's sweet. Say, I know, amen. It's even sweeter than the sweetest thing you know. It's sweeter than honey to my mouth. So he compares it to honey. Come over to 105. 105, right down below. And those verses, you read with me. Thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. What am I saying here? He said, it's like my light. It's my illumination. It gives me sight. It allows me to see better. By the way, the word of God does exactly that. Hey, you can have a situation happen in your life, and if you read the word of God and see your circumstances through the word of God, through the promise of God, it looks a whole lot different. But I tell you what, you take away the word of God, the promises of God, and look at your circumstances without the word of God, it looks pretty dismal. You look at our nation without this book, it looks bad. You look at our president without this book, it looks bad. You look at the candidate choices we have right now. It looks bad without this book. You look at our financial situation right now. Without this book, it looks bad. You look at your coworkers. You look at the schools. You look at what's going on in our nation. Without looking at it through the promises of God, it looks downright bad. Yeah. I'll tell you what, you bring some light into it. Yeah. That was a lamp with nothing like light. Bring some light into the situation. Woo! Looks a whole lot different. Bring the light of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looks a whole lot different. I bring the fact that God's going to rapture us out. Looks a whole lot better. I bring the fact that God says, I will be with you even unto the ends of the earth. Amen. Hey, it looks even that much better. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. It looks even better. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It looks even better. Why? It looks pretty dismal without the promises of the word of God. He said, it's a light. That was the lamp of my feet, the light of my path. And notice in that same thought, look at verse 130. 130. The entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. It giveth understanding to of the simple. And then lastly, he compares it to an heritage. Go to verse 111. Heritage. What's a heritage? An inheritance, basically. 111, thy testimonies have I taken as and what? Heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. He said it's like a heritage or an inheritance. What is that? It is something that comes to me. And guess what? This inheritance, I cannot lose. I can squander some finances. I can squander some inheritance. I can do wrong things with inheritance. I can get mad because I didn't get inheritance. But this is one that everybody gets, and you cannot lose it. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, what did he say? He said, thy testimonies have I taken as an inheritance or an inheritance. How long? Forever. What did he say? Forever. Thy word is settled in heaven. It's not going anywhere. Amen. And so this psalmist has this love for the word of God. And oh, by the way, did I mention he's being persecuted? Did I mention that everybody seems to be against him? Did I mention that wherever he goes, it seems like people are beating him down and discouraging him because of the word of God? He says, you know what? It's still like my inheritance. It's still my light. It's still my honey. It's still my song. It's still my counselor. It's still better to rich than gold. It's still good to me. What am I saying? Hey, you can be that way when it is something that you are investing in. But don't invest in it. It'll be like having a bank account with no money. You get nothing out. I'm just saying, you can't even get no interest on zero.
That's right.
Say, well, I got a bank account, but if there's nothing in it, you get nothing out.
Right.
10% of zero is still zero. All right, let's get one better, Brother Hall. 1,000,000% of zero is still zero. What am I saying? If there's nothing to invest in, you're not going to get any return. But this psalmist said, I've invested. And so it's like riches and gold. It's my counsel. It's my song. It's honey. It's life. It's my heritage. Praise God. That's good. That's good. Now you see why the psalmist is so excited. Now you see why he loves the word of God. Now you see why he is just saying, these things are happening. I'm giving them to the Lord, but I'm still going on. I'm still trusting the Lord. So far, we saw four times the psalmist went meditating delight together. Verses 15 and 16, we saw meditating the promises will bring delight in our days. And we saw in verses 23 and 24, meditation of the promises will bring delight in our decisions and delight in our directions. Then we saw the reverse order where delight comes first. In verses 47 and verse 48, we saw delight in the promises move us to meditate more on the promises. Then in verses 77 and 78, we saw delight in the promises preserves us from the proud and pity parties. Amen. How many had a pity party this week? I hope you didn't. Amen. Well, guess what? If you did, there is hope in the pity party. Amen. God is throwing out the lifeline saying, all right, don't need to be in a pity party. Come on over here. Amen. We have a praise party. Amen. You start praising God. He got a pity party real quick. By the way, you can't have pity and praise at the same time. Amen. Throw the lifeline out. Catch it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Get out of that pity party. Get the praise party. Praise God for how good he is.
Amen.
Why? Because he is good.
That's right.
He is good. We look at it, we say, oh God, you don't know my circumstances. He said, you don't know my grace. My grace is greater than your circumstances. Well, grace, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. So we've been looking at the psalmist's delight and meditation on the promise of God. Now it's time for us to see how we can invest more. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be like this psalmist. Amen. I know I'm going to have my days of persecution. I want to be like this psalmist, and I want to have something going on in my life, amen, that I can really have to show when it's all said and done by looking at the Word of God and saying, God, I can look back and see where you sustained me. God, I can look back and see where you kept me afloat. God, I can look back and see when everything seemed to fail, you didn't fail. God, it seemed like every bit of finance that I had is gone. God, you didn't fail. Lord, when my health was really down, Lord, I'm glad you were still healthy enough to be my stay. Amen. I want to be able to look back and say, God kept me through the word of God, even though it was hard.
Amen.
By the way, these are hard times. Let's just be honest. These are hard times. You can't do what you used to do. You can't go where you used to go. You can't be with the ones you used to be with. You can't hug ones that you used to hug. You can't do many of the things. These are hard times. Let's just be honest about it. I don't know about you. I don't like this elbow business. I don't like this stuff. I'm out of the military. I want to give some hugs. I want to give some embraces. I want to slap five and do all the stuff. Hell yeah. Do all that again. I want to do all that again. I can't do any of that. You come around and folks say, unclean. Let me forget my mask. I'm coming forward. They're going backwards. What's wrong? You don't have a mask. All right, will this work?
No.
Folks, I'm just being honest. It's tough right now. It is. And, are we taking it overboard? Maybe in some instances, maybe we are. Do we need it? I believe in a lot of instances, I think we do. Is it going to go away? I don't think it will. I think this is here to stay to a degree. I think it's here to stay. So if it's here to stay, this pandemic is not going to go away anytime soon. You and I need to invest in what cannot be taken away.
That's right.
We've already seen many things can be taken away. Let's notice something about investing in the promises of God. Of course, if we're going to invest more in the promises of God, now we want to see how we can do it. And so I'm going to give you seven quick things that we're going to be done. And they will be quick, amen, especially if you read the verses with me, amen. Of course, we need to read the Word of God. That goes without saying. Would y'all agree with me?
Yeah.
If we don't read it, then there's nothing we can do, amen. How many of y'all get your smart TVs, but you don't read the instructions, amen? It's only going to get smart as what you read it, amen? It can do a whole lot. There's a whole lot of things my TV can do. But I don't know half of it. You know why? I only read the parts that I wanted. Turn it on. Hook it up to the antenna. Get the cable. All right, that's it. I'm good. But it can go a whole lot more. You push the wrong button, some stuff will pop up. You're like, oh, I can do that. Oh, I can do that. But I didn't read up on it, so guess what? I don't know what to do. My kids go over and they start pressing buttons. Daddy, you didn't know you could do this. No, I didn't. Why? Because I didn't read. Daddy, you always tell us to read. Amen. Daddy said, trust you to read and give him the information. Amen. All right, here we go. Before we start reading the Word of God, let's ask God to do several things here. First of all, ask God to open our eyes to the promises. Amen. Notice Psalm 119 and verse 18. And read that verse with me if you're able. Psalm 119, 18. Notice what he says here. We're just saying about this. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen. Before reading the Word of God, we've got to start by asking God to open our eyes to the promises. Amen. Hey, we have to prepare. Coming to the Word of God is not like coming to any other book. It's not coming like coming to a novel. It's not like coming to a science fiction book. It's not like coming to a romance novel. It's not like coming to National Geographic. This is coming to the very words of God that are alive. And they are life-giving. And they will save you and preserve you and help you navigate. So you've got to say, Lord, open my eyes. Approaching the promises of the Word of God is much like waking up in the morning. Say, preacher, what do you mean? We wake up in the morning, what do we have around our eyes? Crud, crust, mucus, sometimes, not all the time, amen? And you know what we do? We clean the crud, we clean the crust, we clean the mucus from our eyes. So what? So we can see. So we can see. I don't know many people that wake up in the middle of the night, go to the restroom, that wipe their eyes at that time. Why? You don't want to go back to sleep. You don't want anything to hinder your sleep. If you wipe them eyes, you might partially wake up. And you want to go back to sleep. But preparing, opening our eyes is like waking up. We have crud in our eyes. We have to clean the crud of the world from our eyes. Why? We've seen everything anti-God. We've heard everything anti-God on the internet, on television, on our movies, our music, our magazines, the media. Everything is anti-God. We got to say, Lord, open my eyes so I can see. Wondrous things. What does wondrous things mean? Amazing things, hidden things, miraculous things, marvelous things. Think about Jonah. That's a miraculous thing. The flood. That's a miraculous thing. Look at Daniel and the lion's den. Miraculous. The plagues on Egypt. Miraculous. The Red Sea crossing. Miraculous. Open thou mine eyes. So the first step, if we're going to invest in what cannot be taken away, we've got to ask God to open our eyes. I read a devotion this week and by J.C. Ryle, and this is a part of it. Notice what he says. He says, we are all of us only half awake. He said, the best Christian among us knows but little of his glorious Savior. Think about it. He said, the best of the Christians only knows a little bit about the Savior. He says, even after having learned to believe the Word of God, we see through a glass darkly. Think about it, 66 books. Do we understand every 66 books? There's so many hidden things that we don't know. There's so many historical things we don't know. There's so many prophetical things that we don't know. There's so many things that apply to us right now that we don't even know. He says, we do not realize the unsearchable riches that are in Christ. When we wake up after his likeness in another world, heaven, we shall be amazed that we knew him so imperfectly and loved him so little. Let us seek to know him better now and live in closer communion with him now, so ask him to open our eyes. Amen. Now. Think about it. We know so little about Jesus Christ. Amen. We know so little about God. We know so little about the Holy Spirit. Oh, we know some things about them. But to have our eyes open, and by the way, everything that God wants us to know is right here. We just have to open our eyes and get in it. Open our eyes. Hey, what's the first thing? We have got to ask the Lord to open our eyes to his promises. Number two. Then we can invest more by asking God to open our hearts. Notice verse number 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Read that one with me. He says down here, thy word have I what? Hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. After asking God to open our eyes to his promises, ask him to open our hearts to the promises. Why? So that we can hide the word of God, deposit the word of God, reserve the word of God in our hearts. By the way, the receiving of the promises of God take preparation just like a surgeon. How many of y'all had surgery before? What's the one thing that you dread about surgery? You can't eat about 12 hours prior. You can't eat. You got to get blood. You can't eat. What am I saying? The promises of God take preparation like a surgeon preparing the body for surgery. No food, what's the equivalent? No electronics, get them out the way. Say, preacher, no electronics, no my phone. That phone's just going to corrupt your mind. And God is trying to prepare your heart so that you can receive in your heart. For me, when I get up in the morning, I do not turn my phone on. I put it to the side. I turn it off. Sometimes I forget to turn it back on. Amen. And then I think it's too quiet. My phone must not be on. Amen. I got to go back and turn it on. But what am I saying? Before getting the word of God, try your dead level best to get away from distractions. For you, maybe it's not electronic. For you, maybe it's the TV, which is electronic. For you, maybe doing some chores around the house. For you, maybe it's watering your plant. That plant can survive another hour, amen. For you, maybe it's taking the dog out. Now, he can't survive, amen. So you might have to leave him out, amen. But certain things that you don't want to bombard yourself with and cumber yourself about with, as God is preparing your heart and as you have asked him to open your eyes so the word of God can come in. Electronics for me is a doozy. Why? I've got my phone connected to my email, connected to my text, connected to the Google, and they all kind of reach out and say, come, come, come. And I'm a sports fan, so I've got the football over here, the basketball over here. I used to have the Cubs over there, but I didn't get wiped out, man. I ain't got them no more. Amen. And they would all just funnel down. And if you're not careful, you say, well, let me just see if the Cubs won. Click, and then say, hey, you like the Cubs, and you want to see what happened to Chicago Bears. If you want to see what's happening in Mitchell Trubisky, then you need to go over here. And you, before long, you spent an hour. And you went down to Trubisky and down to the this and the that. And then, glory, where did, my next appointment is scheduled. And guess who gets left off one more time? God. And I didn't get a chance to invest that day. Guess what? Zero return on zero input. Amen. What am I saying? Invest more by asking God to open our hearts to his promises. Receiving of the promises takes preparation, and we've got to put away those things that would get in the way. James 1:21 says it this way, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and notice, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive means to accept or take. Engrafted means implanted. So you want the word of God, you ask God to open your eyes, then open your heart, let it come in, and you got it there. Number three, then invest more by asking God to increase our learning. Go to verse 26. Read verse 26 and 27 with me. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. This one is loaded. Notice what he says here. And increasing our learning of the promises, we're asking God to teach us. Amen. Notice down there. He says, I have declared my ways, verse 26, and thou heardest me. Teach me. That word teach me is interesting. It actually means to goad. G-O-A-D. How many of y'all know what goad means? It means to stick you, to poke you. Amen. How many of y'all like your stick to poke? But guess what? That's how some people learn. Amen. Hey, how do you think you train some students? Hey! Up here. Tie you up a little bit. Why? They're getting too loose. Hey, it needs to go. So he's asking him, goad me, Lord. Instruct me, Lord. Give me the right direction, Lord. Then he says, make me to understand. That word, those words, make me understand, means to help me to mentally discern or separate or distinguish from what is good and what is better and what is best. By the way, God always wants the best. Always wants the best. So in this particular, these verses, to increase our learning of the promises, we've got to ask God to teach us, to make us to understand. I've declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Goad me, Lord. Make me understand. Help me to separate and distinguish mentally and understand and discern the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk with thy wondrous works. Amen. And so the psalmist says, you know what? Lord, open my eyes, number one. Number two, Lord, open my heart. And then number three, Lord, help me to increase my learning. And then number four, invest more by asking God to increase our trust. Verse 42. By the way, the more we know of God, the more we should trust him. Let me give you a strange thing. The more children know parents, the more they should trust them. But the older the child gets, the less the child seems to trust the parents. Have you found that true? You know why? They get other input. And that other input seems to conflict with mom and dad's head. I'm going to either obey the other input or I'm going to obey mom and dad. Hey, we're no different. We've got the word of God, it changes not. And God says what he says, but then we get other input. And we don't trust God the way we used to. Because Dr. So-and-so said this, and Dr. So-and-so said that, and psychiatrist so-and-so said this, and specialist so-and-so said that. And I begin to trust others more. And we have the audacity to get at our children when they do the same thing. I'm just saying, amen. 42, those what he said, I'm going to read with you. So shall I have wherewithal to answer him that reproacheth me, for I what? Trust in thy word. Adam and Eve had no problems in the beginning. As long as there's only one authority word in the garden. That's right. But as soon as the serpent came in, introduced an alternate authority, what happened? They dismissed the authority of God and fell for the alternate authority. We do the same thing. Hey, folks, they've asked us to put on masks, we put on masks. They've asked us to wash our hands, we're washing our hands. They tell you to six feet social distance. We have distance. God said, just trust my word. Well, you know, I don't know. But God has told us all these things and we do it. Stay home. God said, trust my word. Well, you know, God, I know you were true last time, but this time it might not be true. What has God never been true? I change not. He said, therefore, you're not consumed. What am I saying? I'm saying we put more trust in things and people and words of others than the Almighty Word of God. And this is the promise which we can't lose. I'm just saying it happened to Adam and Eve. I'm just saying we get upset with our children when they trust others more than us, when we turn around and do the same thing. Why? Well, they have better information. They have better this. Who's got anything better than the Almighty God? Nobody. Now, I'm not saying parents are always right, but they should always be trusted, amen? And they should always be respected. They should always be revered. They should always be honored, amen? They may not always give the right guidance. They may not always give the right advice, but you still don't disrespect them. You still don't dishonor them. God will deal with them. I'm just saying, number four, this psalmist said, increased my trust of the promises. Invest more by asking God to increase our trust in the promises. Trust means to have confidence, to be bold. We should trust God more now that we're older in the Lord than less. Trust Him with your job. Trust Him with your family. Trust Him with your finances. Trust Him with your health. Trust Him with everything you have. Why? You have no control over most of it. As we have seen, it can easily be taken away. It can easily be taken away. So I've got to trust God with why? Because God is the one that can make it all right. I can't do anything with those things. I can't make someone unfire me or give me my health back. That's God's job. That's God's department. This psalmist says, I trust your word. Number five, we're moving. Number five, after asking God to open our eyes to the promises, and number two, open our hearts to the promises. Then number three, increase our learning of the promises. Then number four, increase our trust of the promises. Asking number five to increase our practice of the promises. Go back to number one. Verse number one, I'll give you several things here very, very quickly. And that's more by asking God to increase our practice of the promises. Notice what he says down there, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Notice the practice that the psalmist has going on that you and I can emulate and get a blessing from. The word walk means to advance or proceed in. So notice what he says. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who advance or proceed in the law of the Lord. You can't lose advancing in the law of the Lord. You can't lose investing more in the Word of God. Notice what he says, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. The word keep means to obey, guard, or protect. All the time, my kids say, Daddy, we need to unlock your office. We need to unlock this. And I'll give them my keys. I'll say, you better keep my keys and protect my keys. Why? If you lose my keys, I have no access. I get great by we were going somewhere the other day. I gave my car keys. He said, Dad, can you hold on to them? I don't trust myself. He said, I'm going to be doing this and doing that. If they slip out of my pocket, I don't want to be responsible. Give them to me afterwards. I said, well, at least you know yourself. I put them back in my pocket. I think I did. I said, yeah. What am I saying? Keep my keys. Protect my keys. Guard my keys. Hey, what does he say down there? Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. And that seek him with a whole heart. Seek means to search out, to beat out. By the way, some of the things of God are hidden. They're underneath. And you're not going to get it just by reading. Yeah. That's why he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman or workwoman, amen, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or in other words, cutting it straight. My children love when you cut the pie straight so they get equal shares. They hate cutting it themselves. I don't trust myself because I might cut a slice too big. Well, then that means you just don't get it. That's the fear. I want an equal share. Amen. Cutting it straight. Hey, he said they seek him with a whole heart. Verse 3. They also do no iniquity. Do no iniquity. They refrain from iniquity. Why? If I'm walking or advancing in God's word, if I'm obeying or keeping his word, if I'm searching the word with all my heart, then I'm going to refrain or do no iniquity. It just comes with the territory. Amen. They also do no iniquity. What do they do? They walk or proceed or advance in his ways. Notice verse 4 again. Thou hast commanded us to what? Keep or obey, guard or protect thy what? Thy precepts diligently. If that is the case, then I need to ask God to increase my practices. So I've got to invest more in walking. I've got to invest more in doing. I've got to invest more in keeping and walking and guarding and seeking. Why? The promises can't be taken away. Can't be taken away. And that's why this psalmist, early on, let you know that he's not perfect. And he's trying to keep, he's trying to walk, he's trying to do no iniquity, he's trying to do these things. And by the way, I believe many of us are trying to do just that. But if we're honest, that alternate authority always comes in. That thing that we hear, that thing that we like, that thing that we want to do, that thing that we desire to have, it comes in, it vies for the attention of us walking and keeping and seeking and doing no iniquity and walking and keeping God's ways. It vies for that attention. God says, if you're going to keep what I'm giving you, you can't go over there. You can't listen to that. You can't seek that. You can't search that because you go away with this. Oh, it'll always be with you. You can't lose it, but you can't build upon a shaky foundation. Amen. I'm just saying. So the psalmist says, invest more by asking God to increase my practices of the promise. Then number six, invest more by asking God to increase our appreciation for the promises. Look at verse 72. Read that with me. It says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than what?
Thousands
of gold and silver. Increase our appreciation. He said, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Now, a little bit of gold and silver is good. Hundreds of gold and silver is good. But he said, thousands, plural, of gold and silver. He says, better than that. Lord, that's good. Our appreciation. Do we really know how valuable this book is? Do we really know how valuable it is? You know, in some countries, they die for this book. They have lost their life for this book. I mean, there are people martyred over and over again for this book. To get it, to read it, to have it, to hold it, to see it. They're martyred for this. In Islamic countries, in communist countries, they go to jail over this book. We've got missionaries in China, and they came and raided the house and took prisoners because of this book. Why? It's valuable. The communists know if they get a hold of this type of thinking, biblical thinking, Christianity, it will cause people to uprise and get themselves liberated from communism. Dictators know that they get their hands on this book and destroy it like Adolf Hitler. They know they can put out a lot of ideas of uprising. Because this book comes with freedom. This book comes with liberty. This book comes with democracy. This book comes with a power and with a passion that will not be stopped. That people will die for this book. And they have died.
Amen.
For this book. But that's a promise that we have. And we take it for granted. And we need to invest more in it. The psalmist says, you know what? He says, more. Better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And then lastly, folks, number one, open our eyes to the promises. Lord, help me to invest more in asking you to open my heart. Help me to invest more, number three, by increasing my learning of the promises. Number four, help me to invest more by increasing my trust of the promises. Number five, help me to invest more by asking you to increase my practice of the promises. Number six, help me to invest more by asking you to increase my appreciation of the promises. Then number seven, invest more by asking God to increase our love for the promises. 97, verse 97. Notice what he says here. And I love this. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all day. Invest more by asking God to increase our love for the promises. We try hard to make time for the people and the things we love, and we should. So if we love the word of God, we should make time. Notice what he says here. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation. Notice what it doesn't say. The psalmist doesn't compare himself to someone else. He says, love I thy law. And notice what he says, it is my meditation. We've got to appreciate it and love it for ourselves, not someone else. We can't look at someone else, compare our love for God to someone else's. That's unfair. I remember Brother Baldwin came up and he said that his wife loves God. He was preaching out a psalm. He said, I love the Lord. He said, man, I don't love the Lord like my wife does. And there's nothing wrong with looking at someone and saying, you don't love them. I love God the way they do. But should you love them like they do? Not necessarily. Because your love is going to be based on what God's done for you. God saved Mrs. Baldwin from cancer. Not once, not twice, but three times. The Bible says, who much is forgiven, that person loves more. You can't say, well, I want to love God like Pastor Nelson. You don't know what God has forgiven me for. You don't know my history. You don't know the things that God has delivered you. So you can't love him the way I love him, because I love him because of what he did for me. Not like anybody else. And I'm not trying to love him like anybody else. I'm loving for what he did for me. Amen. And so you can't compare my love to your love, because I don't know what God's done for you. And you really don't know all that God's done for me. You have a snippet of what I've told you, but you will never know all that God's done for me. And so, never try to compare your love to someone else's love for God, because God's done something for you uniquely. He does something for you special. He does something for you that no one else knows about. And you need to love God for what he's done for you, and you love the best way you know how based upon what he's done for you. Don't compare your love to someone else. The psalmist says, oh, how love I got long. It is my meditation all the day. He didn't put anybody else in the equation, because he's looking this way. He said, God, I know what you did for me. I know what you saved me from. I know what you took me through. I know what you did for me. And so, Lord, I love you. I love you. It's my meditation all the day. I'm not comparing this person. I'm not even comparing this person. I'm not comparing this person, that person. No one. Folks, we can't make that comparison. No more than we can say, well, I wish I loved my mom and dad like so-and-so loved their mom and dad. They might love their mom and dad because their mom and dad did something special for them that you know nothing about. You got to love your mom and dad based upon what your mom and dad did for you and how they treated you. You got to love them what they say. Well, they should have done this. It matters not what they should have done. Let's go with what they did. And what they did, my dad had his 86th birthday yesterday, and we called him up, and he called me on the way to church today. And I saw, I said, Dad, I said, you're the best dad ever. I said, I wouldn't have wanted to be raised by anybody else, anywhere else, in any other family but my family. Why? I love my dad for what he did for me. And I don't care what somebody else did for them. And then, and when I was young, I compared to say, well, Dad, he's let me hang out and go late and do these things. But looking back, I'd be in jail if he let me do what I want to do. But I love my dad based upon what my dad did for me. You need to love God for what God has done for you, not for what he did for anybody else. This psalmist could say, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all day. He says, I'm investing in this because I love it. Your relationship with your Lord should be unique, and it should be based upon what God did for you in your life. And the more you read of these promises, the more you'll fall in love with these promises in the Lord. And guess what? They can't be taken away from you. This psalmist says, oh, how love I thy law. This is my meditation all the day. Don't compare your love to someone else's love. You love God the best way you know how, based upon what God has done for you in your life. Now it's time for us to start investing. Now, we've got to leave here and ask God to open our eyes to the promises, ask him to open our hearts to the promises, ask him to increase our learning of the promises, ask him to increase our trust of the promises, ask him to increase our practice of the promises, ask him to increase our appreciation of the practice, ask him to increase our love for the promises. And guess what? You'll find that you'll be more in love with that which cannot be taken away, and you'll invest in something that's real, and something that is lasting forever and forever.
Amen.
Folks, a lot of things can be taken away, we've seen. But one thing can't be taken away, and that is the promises and the Word of God. I had your mind, my eyes are closed. Just for a moment, think about what God has done for you. Think about the promises that can't be taken away, that you've already claimed, and that you possess. And then just think, there's so many more to claim. There's so much more he wants to give you. Make a decision today. Say, Lord, I'm going to invest more in the promises. There's so much there. And invest more. And do it. Father, bless now these next moments of invitation. Maybe there's someone that's never invested in the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Help them to know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of those sins are death in a place called hell. But Lord, help them to invest in the promise that whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. Help them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Help them to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for them. And then help them to go on growing in the Lord. And Lord, for those listening online or those in front of me, help us to invest more that we've already trusted in the gospel. Help us to invest more that we can learn and grow and love you and invest in that which cannot be taken away. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now the hearts and the minds. Help us to make decisions today to invest more in that which cannot be taken away. In Jesus' name, amen. As G2 plays a hymn of invitation, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, we're looking around. Maybe just in the still of your own heart, quiet of your own heart, you just need to pray and ask God to help you invest more. Maybe for you, you need him to open your eyes today. Maybe for you today, you need to ask him to open your heart more. Maybe for you, you need to ask him to increase your learning more. Teach me. Make me understand. Maybe for you, you need to ask him to increase your trust. We should be trusting more, not less. Maybe today you need to ask him to increase the practice. Walking, keeping, seeking, and doing. No iniquity. Maybe for you, it's your appreciation for the promises. More than thousands of gold and silver. Or maybe for you, just asking God to increase your love. Oh, how love I got along. I'm compared to someone else. Compared to someone else. What has God done for you? God's done some things for you. Salvation is just one of those major events. I love him for that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. The light of his glory and grace. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for those under the sound of my voice. Lord, help us to leave here differently than when we came in, Lord, a little bit more knowledgeable about what you would have us to do by way of investing in the promises of God contained in the Word of God. And Lord, we pray for Pastor White. You lift him up and raise him up from the ailments of his neck and his chest and his back and help him feel better. Lord, thank you for the blessing of seeing Brother Fred. Keep him safe whilst he separates his family. Lord, others that may not be with us today due to illnesses or just the COVID precaution, Lord, just give them an increased love for your word and an increased investment in the promises that cannot be taken away. Lord, help that one man, woman, boy, or girl struggling with the decision to trust Christ. Help them to do it today. Invest in that promise. That is the main promise that we need to have that cannot be taken away. And Lord, help us to build upon that like only you can build through us. Again, Lord, give us safety on travel and help us to, Lord, meet once again Wednesday night, hearing about being a peacemaker. And then, Lord, help us to rejoin next week as we look again in the Word of God. Thank you for loving us and blessing us. And for those online, thank God for them as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just a couple things. And don't forget the items that are still out there on the table, the chili pot, the turkey platter, and the steak thermometers. They're there. Also, on your way out, the offering tray is here, one in the back. Make sure you deposit your offerings there. Let me again say thank you for your stewardship and your faithfulness and your tithes and your offerings. And as being a cheerful giver, we still do have bills going on, bills need to be paid, amen. And Tamara, she gave me a big thing to rejoice over. She said, the electric bill is $100. And she said, oops, sorry, my bad. It's not. I was getting excited because only our electric bill was about $300 minimum just because of the size of our lot here. And then I was shoved up there. I said, only $100? Amen. She said, oh, no, no, sorry. I'm like, reality set back in quickly. Amen. So thank you for being a cheerful giver and a faithful giver. And being good on your tithes and offering, you appreciate that. Pat, Brother White's going to come up, Brother White. The law going to come up and dismiss us, amen. But you make sure that.